Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in everyday life. Hello there, Bob here, Pastor David over there, and Pastor Liz here. And against my better judgment, I'm hosting today.
The heavenly host.
Yes, the Lord of hosts.
Yes.
Oh. Hostess. Wow, that is
hostess Twinkies. Those are pretty good too.
Yeah,
a lot of host things. We're not doing anything on host, in case you're wondering about that. But we are going to talk about a book in the Bible.
That's a good idea.
The entire book today. Just put on your seatbelt. We're going through the entire book of Luke.
Oh, I thought we were doing Mark.
Okay, let's do Mark. That's a shorter one. Okay, yes, we are going to do Mark. We're fooling around here, but we'll start with Mark 1. We'll do a little reading, and we'll just talk about Mark. Now, before we begin Mark is kind of an interesting guy. Some people believe he's that John Mark guy. Mm-hmm. Could be. I wish these people would actually have signed their work, to make it easier for the rest of us, right? Us people have to, argue with theologians all the time. But it could have been that guy. Let's say it is. I don't know. What do you think? Pastor David, you're a genius.
Well, I mean, the reason that this is considered a canonical gospel is because Mark, he was connected to Peter, and he was also connected to Paul and Timothy and that whole crew. Yes. So he had apostolic attestation of his testimony. So he had basically apostles put their stamp of approval on what he wrote. So that's how his writing is considered weighty in the church. So
some people think that Peter just told him what to write, basically. Huh?
Probably he could have
just told him, "Hey, write this." Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm going to have to go through Mark a little bit more carefully next time I go through it and see how many times Peter is spoken about inappropriately. Then I will know. If there's nothing...
It looks pretty good in this one.
Right, in this, if there's nothing bad about Peter, then you know Peter's like, take notes. Mark, come here. Paul dumped you, but I'll take care of you. Well, that could be another thing, because I think that Paul was probably, and Peter were probably not real friendly to each other half the time. That's my thoughts. Anyway,
okay.
Idle speculation.
We're giving people history lesson there.
It may be true, maybe not.
Yes, everything I just said was probably not true at all.
Probably not.
Be careful what you listen to. Oh, you know what I'm saying?
Well,
what?
We haven't started reading the Bible yet. Once we do,
but
it'll be good.
If you're going to listen to something, you should listen to the Bible.
Yes.
So this is what the Bible says in Mark.
Good idea.
Okay. It says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" Mamma mia. Mm-hmm. That's the thing about the book of Mark. It gets into it and gets to it. Mm-hmm. Not like our podcast where we start with all sorts of stuff.
Right. He gets right to the point.
He gets to the point, right? That's what I like about him, because I'm that kind of person.
Uh-huh. So Eventually.
I get to the point very directly.
Eventually.
Eventually. It's a long direct. But so, Pastor Liz, what do you think when you hear that, these first couple of verses? What hits you about this?
I mean, I think immediately I'm just hit with the faithfulness of the Lord, mm-hmm. that he gave a promise and he fulfilled it. And he's explaining to them, this is how I fulfilled it. Mm-hmm. Like, he spoke something, and in his mind, he knew exactly what he was going to do and who it was going to be. He already knew everything about it. And he's giving them a promise, and he was faithful to bring it about. That's mm-hmm. what hits me immediately.
That's good. What do you think, Pastor Dave?
Well, this is a reference to Isaiah 40. It's mm-hmm. a prophecy of the glory of the Lord being revealed to all flesh. And so he's saying, hey, there's good news. God has revealed his glory, Jesus Christ. But in order for that glory to come, first the way was prepared. And so, of course, he's going to go on and talk about John the Baptist and that ministry of being a forerunner before God and making his path straight. So it's interesting. God could just come down and level the mountains and raise up the valleys, but he uses a human being to do that. And he says he's like a voice crying in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. And so it's strange. Like when you really think about the metaphor of the wilderness, that's the place where, you know, it's a transition period. It's a place really, in the thought of the time, it was devoid of God. It was away from the presence of God. It was outside the camp, and the voice is outside the camp. Like the voice is crying out in this place that's forsaken, saying, no, God is coming to you. God is coming to you in the place that was outcast. But you're going to see him, all flesh, Israel and the Gentiles will see him. So just a few reflections. It's fulfilling Malachi. Then Malachi says, I'm going to send my messenger Elijah to you.
Right.
Elijah was a type of John the Baptist, a nonverbal prophecy that
right.
there's going to be this guy coming named John, or who's like Elijah, and he's going to turn the hearts of the people towards their God. Mm-hmm. Just to sort of set the stage, he assumes, you know, that like he right. assumes his audience sort of knows about this prophecy and that the Lord was coming, right. which is interesting. So,
well, it's kind of Jewish boys talking to Jewish boys, right?
Yeah.
And they're, yeah. And a lot of this is tying the Old Testament
yes.
and pulling it into the New Testament, like, and preparing the way in more than one way, actually. Mm-hmm. I love that John in his ministry, he's calling people out into let's call it a wilderness area, probably where water is. Maybe sometimes that was close to cities and, you know, things, but it was probably away a little bit. I'm thinking because they went out and washed there and got, you know, and all that. So it's like God's wooing them out to this place with just him. And it's interesting, the people that responded to that and the people who did not respond to that, because there were people who just, they had their own nice church going, and this guy was going to screw it up pretty radically eventually. Right.
Yeah. So. I think there's something to be said for that too, that multiple people can hear the same call, and some will actually stop and respond, and some will just continue on with their lives. And it's the same way today. You know, I think the Lord he's calling people all the time. He's calling them into a kind of away from the things that they've known, into something different, into something that's,
yeah.
but it's uncomfortable, you know? And if you're just kind of caught up in your daily life and your routine, and this is how I live my life, then you don't even really pay attention. It's just something that is happening outside of your sphere, you know, and you just continue on with your life. But I just wonder how many people maybe have missed something truly amazing that God had planned for them just because they were just doing the routine of everyday life.
They didn't have the time to go out.
Yeah. And just wouldn't even think to that maybe their life, something different could happen. Right. You know,
I think that could speak to someone maybe listening to this podcast, where maybe the Lord's calling you into that place, and it could be a very secluded place. It could be a place, you know, a secret place with him. But the question is, will you take the time to actually go there with him?
Right.
And that is a big question, actually. I believe actually it's a question that we're all faced with all the time. I don't think it's just a one-time event. I believe God is, I think he's calling all the time. It's like, come on, come away with me. And then whether or not we respond or not is a whole nother story.
I think a lot of times it's a call to discomfort.
You think?
You know, he's like, come out of your nice homes, your nice place where you have everything you need. Mm-hmm. Come into desolation, really, but I'm there.
Right.
You know, and here's this weirdo person that's going to, you know what I mean? It's just a lot of times when God calls us, he calls us into a place. It begins a season of discomfort, let's just say, where things become unsettled in your life and disrupted, and it brings, I don't know, angst with it a lot of times.
I'm going to say something that's going to make everybody mad out there, especially most of the pastors. And that's, I'm going to say that I believe a church is supposed to be a place of discomfort. And we make it way too comfortable. And I know it's supposed to be a safe place, but God's not that safe either.
Right. And so do you think that's the prophet mindset though? Because here's a prophet, right? He's calling the people to discomfort.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a prophet mindset?
I think that's Jesus' mindset. He was a good prophet too. Yeah. It's an interesting thing if we're looking for too much comfort. You know what I'm saying?
Well, think about who John was. He was part of the Essene sect, you know, so he's out there in the desert, like the Qumran community that had the Dead Sea Scroll. Uh-huh. He's completely separating himself unto God. He's a Nazarite. He doesn't drink wine. He doesn't touch the dead. He's totally holy unto the Lord. And he lived that out, unlike some other Nazarites that were in the Bible. He fully embraced that. And so when he actually starts calling people, it says, to a baptism of repentance, people come to see this guy who's living out holiness. Mm. He's living out, I'm preparing the way of the Lord. He knew why he was alive. Mm-hmm. He knew his mission. And he had kind of the gravitational pull that people would respond to that. I think they would see in him the consecrated life. They would see some of like, well, I wish I could be like that to some degree. Now they wouldn't want to, you know, wear camel skins probably and, you know, eat locusts, but you know, they're seeing the real deal right there.
You know, what's interesting?
I think people would, I mean, I want to turn aside if there's anyone that's going to help me, walk in a real way with God and get some sort of a breakthrough to see, mm-hmm. to see God's glory. Anything that's going to help me see his glory more, I want to turn aside and see that. Mm-hmm. If I see, you know, Moses saw the burning bush, he's like, I have to go see what that thing is over there.
You know, Why do you think the Pharisees went out then?
To make sure he was doing it according to the rule.
The rules. Make sure the rules
control,
are being.
Control. Control.
Heresy hunters.
Being applied at all times.
To quench it.
Is that sanctified water you're using out there? You know. Yes. Well, you started to jump into the next scripture, which I will read to us, and that is John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. I'm going to stop right there. That's a pretty interesting statement all by itself. What do you think, Pastor Liz? What do you think about that statement?
I mean, you know, what was interesting?
Well, I think what's interesting is that he's identifying it as a baptism of repentance. Mm-hmm. And we tend to put baptisms into a specific category all the time.
Right.
And I mean, could you have a baptism of repentance right now?
Absolutely.
Oh, wait, that died with John, didn't it?
I think this is where the doctrine of baptisms, you know, comes in. Yes. And I think that, like you were saying, I think we can kind of categorize baptism is for this and only for this. Right. But I don't believe that. I believe that there are different reasons, let's say, different things that happen at baptism. I know that's the case in my life, you know, and it's interesting that it is identified that way, mm-hmm. you know, where later on baptism is maybe identified for a different purpose.
Yeah.
So I think it's an interesting.
And I think for those listening who might not know, you were just speaking out of Hebrews 6 and the doctrine of baptisms, mm-hmm. and it is plural, like you said. And so anyone wondering where that came from, that's where it's, mm-hmm. It's one of the places it's stated. But the baptisms are, there are different baptisms. There are baptisms of sufferings and Jesus is baptized. I mean, there's a lot of things going on there. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting that to me, like I say, about the baptism of repentance, because it was his very specific and I would say essential ministry. That was his ministry. It wasn't like he had a whole bunch of ministry going on. He just had this one very essential ministry to turn up people to begin to hear.
Right.
Yeah. What do you think, Pastor David?
Yeah, that's calling people to repentance is still critical. That's our message.
Yeah.
So it means to change your mind or to go beyond your mind, right? To actually go into God's mind. So mm-hmm. John is calling them towards that. And like you said earlier, like I do think it's a really uncomfortable thing, you mm-hmm. know, to tell somebody, hey, where you're at right now, God has more for you. It's different. You have to deviate. You have to turn. Like there's certain things that can't last. They can't make the trip with you. Mm. But every time that the Lord's calling you deeper into a more rewarding, meaningful life, there's going to have to be repentance. You're going to have to change your mind about something. Right. And you're going to have to immerse yourself in something. Mm-hmm. So baptism, there is an immersion. They had washings at that point. They had ceremonial washings. Mm-hmm. And he's adding another one. He's not just saying like, let me deepen your understanding of the hand washing. He's like, no, jump in this river right now. Mm-hmm. Like you're not just like scrubbing dirt out from under your fingernails. You have to give yourself to the Messiah. The Messiah mm-hmm. is coming. You know, you can't dip your toe in there. Like you just got to get in.
You got to go in all the way.
And so there's a bit of all or nothing. I mean, there is all or nothing. in our walk with God.
It's a very public statement too. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a whole nother thing. You can't, you know, you're coming out soaking wet and you can't say, well, I didn't baptize. No, you actually went. You know.
Although they probably dried in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
They're in the Middle East.
It was pretty dry. Yeah. Yeah. The next scripture is interesting also with the way it starts. It says, then all. And I'm like, that's a serious word right there. All. It says, then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. So now there's things going on here. They're coming out confessing their sins. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's this transparency thing going down with their lives. But they're all, like twice in that one little scripture, he's talking about all. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, towns were what? Emptying out and going to the river. Like, he didn't have a podcast to, I mean, he didn't have an X account to publish. I mean, he didn't have a publisher. Well, he had a publisher, but he was in, you know, heaven. But, but you know what I'm saying? It's, right. I mean, he didn't, where'd this guy come from and how did all of a sudden show up for this? Mm-hmm. This, like, these are the kinds of moves of God that I think we kind of put God's moving into a little box and say, well, if we don't do this, 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 and that, and we publish it this, this, and this, that way, that nobody will know. Like, if you're not on Facebook, how will God ever be magnified? If you're not, right? Mm-hmm. And yet, this guy, with none of that, apparently got all to come out. Yeah. Even the people that are against him.
So, there's power to being the real deal.
Yeah.
You know, and I would say, too, like, he's also tapping into the expectation of the time that everyone's expecting a Messiah. And they know all the prophecies. And they're saying there's going to be a forerunner that's like Elijah. And he's really fulfilling that. And so word is spreading. And, you know, people ask him later, like, are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah?
Right.
So they're actually looking for deliverance. And there was a hunger at that time for God's deliverance, for his Messiah.
Yeah.
And so I think he knew that. I mean, it wasn't like he was using that. It was just the fullness of time had come. Mm-hmm. Like, the time had come for this to happen. So I think if he would have come out a couple years earlier, it wouldn't have happened the same. Mm-hmm. If he waited later, it wouldn't have happened the same. He had to be in communication with God. And I'm sure the Lord led him. It said the word of the Lord came to him.
Right.
And I think another one of the Gospels, the word of the Lord came and said, okay, now it's the time to do this. So I think being sensitive in the spirit is way better than, you know, promoting yourself through worldly means. Mm-hmm. You know? So,
or yeah, go ahead, Pat.
I think it's the power of the person that God has called for that time being obedient.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that can never be underestimated. The saying yes to the assignment of God on your life at the right time is, all that's needed, actually.
It's pretty incredible when you think about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, when the two come together, mm-hmm. that hearing the call and responding mm-hmm. comes together with the call that's actually on your life mm-hmm. and the correct time. It's amazing what happened.
Right.
Like, it is truly amazing. And that can happen today.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it actually does. Is happening yes. today.
you know, it does.
And so it's, yeah, that's wonderful, actually. Yeah. Anyway, the whole story about John just blows me away. But then it says, now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his loins, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So this guy's like totally locked into, I love that, you know, a prophet, never a prophet like him, yeah. You know, Jesus, you know, his stamp on him. Like, he's totally locked into what's going down, and he's speaking it, and it's going to come into existence in the very near future. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy to me. Yeah. What do you guys think about this little set of scripture here?
I mean, it's it's amazing. He has the revelation of the Holy Spirit, you know, and of Christ. I don't know. I'm just thinking about John and Jesus, you know, because they met, mm-hmm. you know, very early on
yeah, you think.
In their lives. And I just wonder what transpired there that from that moment on until we see him, you know, coming uh-huh. into public life. Obviously, there was a lot that went down with him, you know, and yeah. I just wonder, I guess.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy because, I mean, you know, like you said, they more than likely knew each other. I mean, and maybe even grew up together, possibly. I mean, it doesn't.
I don't know. We don't know. They met once.
We know they met once.
It affected them.
They were both in an interesting position.
Yeah, but there was still this recognition.
Oh, yeah. You know? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I just wonder what happened there.
The spirit goes way past the physical connection, that's for sure.
To this point.
And it's possible they may have had connection, you know, since then and together, which is also more actually to me, if they actually somewhat grew up together in life, it would be more impressive to me, right? It's like miraculous. Your weird cousin, right? You know, it's like, oh, right. this dude, and now you're calling him, you know, the Lamb of God. Mm-hmm. I mean, that to me is like shocking, mm-hmm. You know, that you could come to that place actually. When, you know, when you're familiar with someone, you tend not to, you know, Jesus and his brothers and sisters, they weren't really thrilled about him, mm-hmm. you know, and they grew up together. Of course, yeah. older brother, he's, you know. Yeah. Uh-huh. But yeah. What do you think, David?
Well, it's just amazing the humility that John has. And he goes, I'm not even worthy to loose his sandal, and I'm here for him. I'm here to show you what's to come. I'm here to make the way for the one who's greater than me and for the baptism that's greater than mine. And he's just like, what if, I mean, for God to call you, like if it would, the equivalent is to say like, you know, God's calling you to prepare the way for a greater minister who's going to do greater things than you. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, awesome. Okay. And just to accept that without saying, well, how come I couldn't be that? Or how come, you know, what I just have to serve or something. What am I going to get out of this? But he doesn't, you don't see him asking that. I know he has questions later where he goes, hey, are you really the Messiah? Mm-hmm. But he's totally devoted to the Messiah. You know, he's a servant still. And so it's really something to,
I'm sure
to model your life after.
He must have dealt with it because we know how the enemy works, right? And he comes and he brings, you know, like, well, why, you know, why am I this and my cousin is this? You know, like, why am I not that and they're this? You know, because we know that's just how the enemy works.
I have a question for both of you. Can you imagine how great the church would be if it were filled with saints that believed that of each other?
Yeah, the only parallel I see in the Bible to this is Jonathan with David. Because Jonathan was supposed to inherit the throne. And he goes, no, that's God's anointed. Let me support him. Let me give him my bow and my sword and my support. And, you know, that's really how I see it, is it's like, it doesn't make sense. It's completely God-given, God-type love that he's, were you going to say something?
I was going to say, I do see this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I see it in the church. I see it.
Where it's great,
it's like,
actually.
I understand. I know what my assignment is, and I see what God has assigned for them to do. And my assignment is to make them great.
It's unfortunate, you know, if a saint doesn't ever see that in their life.
Right.
Because then you're limiting the growth to just you.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't limit the growth to just him.
Right.
He saw far. I mean, if you understand the kingdom of God, then you see past just your spot. And by the way, I don't think that John the Baptist was lesser, right? Jesus, no. Like, he put a stamp on him. And by the way, I don't know. I mean, this guy was emptying out whole cities and regions. I mean, it wasn't like he had like a really shabby, you know, ministry.
Right.
He had disciples. He had everything going also. And yet, which was the crazy part, yet with that, like you were saying, David, is he humbled himself. Mm-hmm. And he was okay with others being lifted up. You know, he was okay with his disciples following Jesus. I think he was okay with, Jesus, getting glory and seeing. I mean, and I think he gloried in that, actually. I don't think there was anything bad about it.
Well, he said that flat out, right? In John 3, he goes, I'm the bridegroom's friend. I'm not the bridegroom. So I'm here to encourage him and rejoice with him. And he's making more disciples than me, but... Yes. That's why I'm here. He must increase, I must decrease.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did his job well. He fulfilled his assignment.
Yeah. It would be it's a spectacular church if we have an entire church filled with people thinking that of each other. Mm-hmm. If you think about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's the power of God just being shown through the body of Christ.
Right.
Just being and increased.
Well, Jesus was like that.
Yes.
Jesus is the forerunner for the bride.
Yes. Firstborn among anybody. Yeah. Well, if you're raising up people around you and the people around you are raising you up, it's kind of a win-win situation.
Win-win-win.
You know. So John the Baptist, it comes to pass, I think I'm on the right spot here. It comes to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And everybody's laughing over there. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then the voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased."
Mm-hmm.
Did that happen to you the last time you got baptized? No. Actually, I've seen that happen, but the voice came from heaven through a prophet to someone.
Yeah.
I thought you meant you saw a dove.
Yeah.
Well,
at Calvary Chapel, there's usually a big dove.
Yeah, he got loose. That's their logo. Church.
They caught him.
Gosh.
Someone should bring a dove to the next baptism. That would be good. Wouldn't that be great?
A whole flock of doves. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know about having it land.
That's a great idea.
Oh, gosh.
One you really like.
Let dubs out behind the baptismal. That'd be great. I don't know. We had a baptism up at the lake the other day, and there was a whole flock of ducks. Is that close? That's close enough, isn't it? They were quack-quacking behind these people getting baptized. I thought it was great.
Actually.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I mean, What's to say about that, Pastor David? Anything?
I've heard some cool parallels where in Isaiah it says, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, right, and deliver." And this can be rendered, "I saw the heavens torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove." So this is God's intervention to deliver, and he's coming with the power of the Holy Spirit to anoint God incarnate, right? So you have all three members of the Trinity. You have the voice of the Father, you have God in flesh, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. So God truly has come, and he's entered into our life and our situation. And God, just in a very human sense, he's stamping his identity on Jesus, that you're my beloved Son. And he's entering through those waters into the wilderness. Mm-hmm. Kind of like Moses, children of Israel, bringing his people into the wilderness and to the promised land. And he's got to do that. He's got to spearhead that. So there's a lot going on here. There's a lot that he's fulfilling, like in these verses. I could keep going sort of, but I mean, that's just what the first thing.
Well, I think there's a lot the father's fulfilling too, because I think a good father validates a son. I mean, you think about that. And imagine in life if you had good fathers validating their sons, bringing, "Hey, this is my son. I'm pleased in him, with him." Imagine that happening. And by the way, Jesus didn't do anything yet.
Right.
It's like we always feel like we have to. I guess he did one big thing. He did leave heaven. So that probably made the
his mom raise all those other kids. Joseph. Maybe Joseph had passed away.
He'd
been very faithful.
It's interesting because we always think that you to validate somebody they have to do a bunch of good stuff. And in life he hadn't really done anything really.
Right.
I guess a couple of chats with some theologians in the temple. that's about it. Get lost and have your parents get mad at you.
Brought a bird back to life. Oh, wait, wrong religion. Wrong religion.
Right. Oh, my
brought
gosh.
A bird. What do you think? You have anything on this one? I just want to skip it. No. You and Jesus.
There's so much. I mean, first of all, that Jesus came to receive from someone else's ministry is a big deal. Also, I just wonder if everyone heard the voice. I wonder about that. Like if there were Pharisees there that heard the voice, or if this was just, I don't know. It's just, there's so much in here that is not in here.
This is, a lot of that, I was going to about to say a lot of that's also Mark, the way he, you know, talks about Jesus' ministry. I mean, it's just like we've just fast forwarded pretty quick, right? Some of the other, you know, gospels is like we're still, you know, going through the lineage.
We're back on Rahab still.
Rahab. And here he's like, and we're in the, here's the beginning, and now where it's there. Right. You know, and now, and matter of fact, he's going to jump right into the temptation, which you're like, I mean, it spins your, it, to me, Mark's, it really does spin your head because it goes so fast.
Well, as I was going to say, you know, like the Spirit came down like a dove, but it didn't just come just to sit there. The next thing is, it says it drove him.
Yeah, well,
you know,
he came in like a wrecking ball.
Issues there.
The Holy Spirit, he's not just like a little parrot sitting on your shoulder to be your buddy and tell you nice things as you're walking along.
He didn't dove him into the wilderness.
It's not saying, I have to say something real quick, because it's not saying he came down looking like a dove.
No.
It's saying he came down like a dove comes down.
Right.
Like he's resting.
Right.
He wasn't shaped like a dove. You have to be able to read a sentence. Like he's coming
maybe
down
it
the
was.
Same way.
You don't know.
But it could have.
Could be.
In the same way as a dove.
It says like a dove.
It says.
You could say that looks like a dove.
Descending upon him like a dove.
Right.
Like he hovered over the face of the waters. It's, you know, there's like.
Wait a minute. Hold a second.
He's not saying Holy Spirit looks like a bird, like a little bird.
Floating down on
maybe.
Somebody. What does a dove do when it's coming down?
He's a spiritual being. He doesn't look like a dove.
No. I mean, it's like a dove. So his action was something
his
like
action that. Was like a dove.
Right. So what is a dove?
Yeah, I'm but asking. They saw it.
I love it.
There's something
but
that
did
they
everyone
noticed. That's what I'm wondering.
Everybody hear it and everybody see it.
That's that bird you brought back to life.
Listen, because if there's a pack of Pharisees out there,
right?
And they see heaven open and they see something come down. Uh-huh. Okay, whatever, however that looks, that they were able to recognize what's happening. And then the voice thunders out from heaven, "This is my beloved son." Then what the heck are they doing after that? If I'm just saying, if they all witnessed all of that,
well, they witnessed him doing lots of stuff later that they totally, you know.
Well, also, right, the father spoke from heaven in John 12, and they said, "Oh, it thundered."
Right, and that's so I'm wondering. Did some people just hear, like, oh, it's raining? You know what I mean? Or, like, I don't
explain
know. I'm just
away,
wondering
right?
what's
no,
happening.
No, I actually believe people hear God's voice and see his moving and totally reject him.
Yeah, that's a whole other level of.
Like, they saw Jesus, right? He was there. Like, you know, he's like turning some blind guy to see and deaf guy to hear and a mute guy to talk. And I mean, they all knew this and they're watching it happen. A dead person rising, you know, cripples walking. And they're like, nothing to see here. Moving on.
Yeah. We have to kill him or else everyone will believe in him.
Right.
He keeps doing this.
Like they just totally reject. He came to his own and his own received him. Not that's a direct, like,
and that's
I don't
the blindness of religion.
Well, it's unbelief. You know, it's the direct opposite of faith. Like it's like, I refuse to believe. I'm going to think of every reason to not, and it's not unbelief. Like I just can't intellectually receive that a person could be healed. It's no, I'm not going to like pledge allegiance to this person.
Right.
That's what unbelief is. Like, I'm not going to actually join my life to them. Even if I see and I believe intellectually what they're doing, it's against me. I'm not going to follow that, you know? So it's a resistance, a hardness.
Well, I agree. It's hardness of heart. I also believe that in time you can forget God's greatness. You can just, may have seen it and you just walked away from, and you, you know, you witnessed it. You maybe even acknowledged it and sometime in your own life and you just, in time you forget.
Yeah.
Or you don't bring it to memory.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot going on there. We're having a theological discussion.
Well, I talked with my wife about, I talked with my wife about this the other day because she's seen some crazy things like that I've never seen about like needles coming out of people's feet and then regenerating and things like that. And, but she's like, sometimes I don't even know if that was real or not. Like I have to ask my friends, you know, did that really happen? And, you know, so there's a lot of factors at play with this stuff because it's so, so different than our normal experience to encounter God in that sort of a way. But yeah, I don't know. They probably just played it off.
Our memory, memories are interesting like that. I mean, I think we can turn things off and turn things on and or just let them drift away. And I believe that's part of why God in the Old Testament and in the New established feast. Mm-hmm. That's why he establishes, you know, the, right. the communion. That's why he established, I mean, it's to bring remembrance mm-hmm. and to not just,
Good.
You know, to bring it to remembrance intentionally, not just let it slip and fade. That's like, I read the Bible once.
The message.
The message Bible once and there, I'm done. You know, it's, yeah. I, you know, it's not doing anything for me now. You know, yeah, it's like, yeah. but
Freshman.
So right then, like it says, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was drove, not dove, the, took the R out, right? Drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered to him. I love, you know, that in other gospels, it's like, this is a detailed, you know, what's going down here, and there's so right. much, we preached mm-hmm. on it, we taught on it, you know, right. we got old books, and, you know, thesis is written on what happened there. And Mark is like, hey, they went there, got tempted, got out. Got in, got out. I mean, it's like, and you know, an angel's ministered to him, just like, by the way, you know, right. You know, there were wild beasts. You know, yeah, you don't hear about that
part,
one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ring is like, what?
Okay. If you can nerd out, if you want to nerd out for a minute,
nerd out a little.
The wilderness and the wild beasts and all that are all supernatural symbols of, they're all supernatural evil symbols from Old Testament prophetic literature. So he's just saying he was way in the deep of it. Like he was way in a bad spot. Like, yeah. and he came out and he came out with power. You know, so he was in a place where no Jewish person would want to be, like in a scary spot.
Any person.
Yeah.
I mean, most people who go out into the wilderness, like if they get, they die of exposure, mm-hmm. right? And he's out there.
We're bears.
Well, I'm just help both of you. I'm going to help both of you, but on this one, but Satan was there.
I'm like, saying,
like,
set,
it doesn't set, matter about
that. Satan aside. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Set Satan aside for a minute. Just being in the wilderness 40 days by yourself.
That'd be crazy.
Right? I mean, hot, we don't want people to go on a walk by themselves around here because
right.
of the
right. bears.
The bears and the mountain lions, you know, and the crazy people or whatever, you know.
Tweakers are out there.
Yeah. Honestly, let alone for 40 days and like, oh, yeah, just go out there. Don't bring anything with you. For 40 days, and let's see if
he, just go
let's
for
see
it.
What happens.
See what happens.
Let's see what happens.
Like I said.
Oh, and by the way,
Satan's coming to visit there. You. He's like there the whole time, like, hi. Yeah. No, I mean, we, yeah.
But the angels were there too.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Eventually.
That's kind of cool.
Eventually they checked in.
Yes. Spiritual war going on out there.
That was crazy. Mm-hmm. It's poor too
Jesus.
Crazy. But like I said, this is the thing about Mark. It's like we just pounded through like, a lifetime of stuff.
Mark's an action movie guy. That's really what's happening. Yeah.
We should make a movie. Yeah.
One time I counted how many times he said immediately in Mark, and it was like 50 or 60 times. I could be wrong about that, but it's a lot. You check
we
me on
look that.
That
up
it was
let's
a lot.
Fact check that. No, okay. So then it says, now after John was put in prison, now we just went, we just blasted along. And he gets back to this later, of course. He says, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's another one of those, boom, he's here, it's time. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. And then, and so succinct and just, you know, here you go. Mark's like, imagine if you only had the gospel of Mark, you'd just be like,
they did for a while.
Yeah.
It was the first one.
Right. Oh. But imagine that you're just trying to, you're putting it all together. It's like, it was a whirlwind. Mm-hmm. Like with everything, what happened? There was no time in between.
Yeah.
It's like week. Everything has happened in a week.
I know.
That was one quick week.
Right. I mean, these guys, you know, like, hey, let's go to Galilee. Sure. Yeah. You know, anyway, it's mind-boggling to me. Mark is just a mind-boggling, you know.
So we've got to hold it in tension with the other gospels because you are missing some of the process here and like the preparation. And it wasn't just real quick, you know, like Jesus, he was already 30 years old. He'd had to actually like go through a lot, but you're getting the other side where he came in like a sledgehammer and just is destroying stuff. And he came like a storm on the world of his day. Nobody saw that guy coming,
like a wrecking
you know,
ball.
Really was. Yeah. I said that earlier, but nobody heard me, and I decided to not say it. Yeah, but I'm glad that you just said it again.
Would you
yeah.
say like a what?
He came in like a wrecking ball. First, I said Holy ball. Spirit came in like a wrecking ball, but then Jesus too.
I thought he came in like a dove.
That's why I don't think it was very dove-like.
He drove you.
Came in like a blue angel. You know?
That's a flyover.
Like a 50,000 yeah. pound dove.
That's
really what B-52. That's a big dove coming down here.
Yeah, everybody get your umbrella.
It's gonna get scary quick.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Let's get serious. We're talking about Jesus again here. Oh, poor and Jesus. I don't know what how much time are we into this thing?
Too long.
Oh yeah.
Okay, we got a little
bit. We're getting a lot on there. That's good. So now where am I at? Yes. we blast from there too. And I think we're in verse 16.
Wait, hold on a minute.
Wait, on, that's Bob. Back.
Wait, yeah, what's I'm the old. Gospel?
Oh.
Repent and believe the gospel. What's he talking about?
Him.
How come he didn't explain that? Yeah, exactly. He doesn't have to explain it. He's like, the kingdom's here because I'm here.
Right.
Repent. That's good news to you.
I'm the gospel. I'm it.
I've arrived. You know, I think it's important for people to realize like,
oh yeah,
he himself fulfills like the kingdom as the king. Right. And there's more to it than that, but just him showing up, people are getting it like, oh, Messiah's here. Things are different now, you know?
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I think a lot of times we try to separate Jesus from the gospel. Like we make it a separate and he is it.
Yes.
Just like he is the word, just like he is the kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Anyway, it's kind of crazy, but man, I don't know. Okay. So now we go to, we go here and it says, and we're laughing over there. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting nets into the sea. I mean, it's out of order. Something's wrong. Anyway, for they were fishermen. And then Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they dropped their nets after reading his statement of faith.
Mm-hmm.
After him explaining everything to them.
3 years of seminary.
For 3 years. He says, left their nets and followed him. When he'd gone a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. These guys were troublemakers from the beginning, who also were in the boat mending their nets, probably broke their nets because they're crazy people. And immediately he called them, and they left their father, Zebedee, poor guy, in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. Everything about this is wrong according to Jewish religion. Like everything, except for following a rabbi. All the other stuff is a little odd.
Yeah.
You know, and they did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think when we get saved, we do that.
What? Do you think he asked every fisherman?
Every fish.
Every single guy there, or just he picked out those four?
Well, I think there's a call to all of them, but I think this was the first call in specific. But I think what's interesting to me is that when you come to Jesus, there doesn't have to be a giant explanation.
Yep.
Because it's done by the Spirit of God. It's by the Father's wooing and all of it. I mean, he just calls and you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but when in your walk with Jesus, is there ever a big explanation?
It's usually
after.
It's usually after. That's what I'm saying. It's usually long afterward.
From him, I don't get long. I don't get long explanations. It's like, hey, we're going. You're coming or not?
Call me next time. I'll give you the explanation. I'll prophesy it over.
Where
you.
Are we going? Yeah. You don't need to know.
How long is this going to take? What should I pack? He did give the. You know, yeah. He told his guys, you know, don't pack a whole lot of stuff. So he did. You know, could have been cold.
I don't know.
But we make people have long explanations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
Make things very complicated.
Did
these guys have insurance and they had all their support raised and they had they had their travel arrangements and travel insurance and you know, they had contacts there and everything, right? Everywhere they're gonna go with Jesus.
Yeah, they had it all lined up.
They had their synagogue approved it and everything.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. They had to have, right?
Yeah. Their dad loved it, probably, that they just abandoned the family business.
Yeah.
They left him in the boat.
Their dad's yelling.
He's like trying to pull in the fish.
Yeah.
Sorry, dad.
He's got the servants with him. Please, those two sons of mine are idiots. They're always getting in trouble. Next thing you know, they'll be calling fire down from them.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. They just obeyed and they just went with him.
Yeah. But, you know, it like I said, it strikes me with when I read this is that this is how we came to him, actually. There wasn't like, you know, like, you need to receive Jesus. And he died for you. I mean, you know, we talk about the gospel and, you know, and all your sins are going to be forgiven. And all you have to do is say this little thing to Jesus and believe. It's like, you know, do I get a little more of an explanation than that? No.
Yeah.
No. Because then it's not a faith thing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. No. For me, yeah. It's not just coming to him. My whole walk with him is like this.
Of course.
Just.
Yeah. I'm sure these guys, five steps down the beach with their father yelling in the background, must have been like, oh. Here we go. Are you sure about this?
We're saved by faith, but you're trusting Jesus.
Yeah.
That's what it means. You're trusting him. And so that means you're going to walk with him. You're going to go the same direction he does. There's going to be a total transformation, at least in your outlook.
Yeah. You
know? So,
yeah.
That I mean,
the way we
start
has to be the way we continue. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're just, now we're doing it on our own. Now we do things that we can understand. Mm-hmm. Now we do things that have been explained and reasoned out to us, and I don't
need faith then.
Yeah,
having begun by following
Him, mm-hmm. That's I lead now. I decide.
Having begun by the Spirit, you can't be perfected by the flesh, right?
I decide what makes sense and what's rational.
Hmm. Well, you know, I think we've gone through like 20 scriptures.
It's pretty good.
That's pretty decent. I didn't think we'd get
it. But we're almost to the unclean spirit part.
I would like you to read that then if you want to talk about him.
I'm good. No. He kicked out a demon.
Like I said, it goes from one scenario to another. Just like, okay, I'm picking guys up. All right, we're casting out demons. And these guys are like, what? Where are we? What?
By the way, that had never happened in the Old Testament. That was totally new.
Yeah, they casted in demons.
They could only soothe it, right? Like David, they couldn't kick those things out.
Yeah, but it's pretty incredible. Did you want to talk about any of that a little more or just want to kind of end it here? I think it's a great place actually to end in that you have to follow him. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the call to us as disciples is to make our step in his direction, not worry about every single detail, not work every single thing out. And just let him lead us.
Yeah.
And just follow him. Follow him down the it's nice if he's on a beach. I have to, that makes it a little easier. Nice. You know. If you were in like a sweatshop in Brooklyn somewhere working and he came in and said, follow me, it'd be like, ugh, it's an ugly place to be, you know, finding Jesus. Or if you're just a total druggie. And he finds you in your crazy place. It's like, that's an ugly place. So Jesus will go wherever. Because guess what? Those guys were fish-smelling guys. Those guys were messed up.
Dock workers.
Yeah, they were union guys.
Deadliest catch guys.
Yeah, they were sketchy for sure. But he finds you who you are and right where you're at. And he just calls. And it's such a great calling. Mm. There's like nothing like it. And so as we cut out of here on you, if you don't know Jesus, this is a great time to just ask him. Ask him into your heart. Ask him to show himself to you and see what it's like to follow him a little bit. I would say you don't have to worry about everything down the road. All you need to think about is the next step toward him. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, go to spiritschoolofministry.com.